Well, good morning, church, and welcome. We're so glad that you're here and, you know, worshiping with us and praying with us and just hearing and experiencing God with us. Before we get into our time today and the next part of our series, I just want to take a moment to kind of highlight and celebrate our worship team. If you were here Friday night, we had a powerful, powerful time of worship, and it was just so great and so moving and just so impactful. And our team, they worked so hard to make that happen. And, you know, and they're here again today leading us in worship. And so I'm thankful for them, for Robbie, for the leadership, for the presentation team. What they do week in and week out is a very powerful thing that helps us enter into the presence of God to hear from his word. And so thank you to the worship team. If you see any of them, make sure you let them know just how much you appreciate all that they do for us. Both services, every week they do that for us, and so they're amazing. All right, we are nearing the end of our journey in the Nehemiah story, and of course with it our end and our journey in this series to boldly go. We're not going to stop boldly going, we're just going to keep boldly going and then enter into a new series. And as we enter into kind of what I would say is our final week, as we move towards March 2nd, as we close all this out next week, I want to challenge us to boldly pray. And the book of Nehemiah is a bold and faithful journey. And it's one that is just filled with prayer. And from start to finish, you just see all these prayers. And so what I want to do is I want to take time to just examine the ways in which Nehemiah prayed. And then at the end, I want to challenge you to do the same as we, you know, take bold steps for our church, but also in our own lives to go to, you know, step where God is leading us, no matter what that may be. So let's go all the way back. We're going to Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 11, because, you know, we talked about how Nehemiah, he gets this burden, and right after he receives word about what's taking place, he immediately goes to prayer. And I want to read some of that to you. So Nehemiah 1, verse 3, it says, "The remnant," and I'm going to add, "of Israelites in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down, and its gates have been burned." And if you, real quick, just a quick pause there. You know, last week we talked about, what did we talk about? Watching the walls, guarding the gates, worshiping the Lord. And at the very beginning of this chapter, what we hear is that Jerusalem's walls and gates lie in ruin. And again, it just reiterates the importance for us to continue to guard, to watch, and to worship. All right, going on in verse 4. Nehemiah said, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, 'Yahweh, the God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands, let your eyes be open, your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give your servant success today and have compassion on him in the presence of this man.'" And right out the gate, here's what Nehemiah teaches us. He teaches us to pray boldly for others. And for them to return, the Israelites to return, really, he wants to pray for them to return back to God, because there was a point in time where they left him and it caused them to enter into exile. And so he's coming and he's praying that they would return back to God. But he's also praying that the walls of Jerusalem and the temple could be rebuilt. And he's praying that the Israelites would have dignity be restored, relationships be restored, their kingdom be restored. Praying for one another is an important aspect of a church. And Jessica was just out here and talking through our prayers and encouraging us to pray. We are a praying church. And if you take time to fill out your prayer and your praise card, what happens is that prayers go up for you. You may not know it. You may not hear it. Some of you may even get prayers sent to you, or someone will meet with you and pray over you. And it's so important And that's why we talk about it, and we make it a part of our service every single week, that we are a church that prays together, boldly for one another. And while that is important for us to pray for one another, at the same time, we must also remember to pray for those who, Nehemiah puts it, are living in great trouble, and they have not yet called on the name of the Lord to experience salvation through Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, it says, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. Pray for everyone. Goes on to say, this is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. God desires for all to be saved. Jesus died and rose again for all to be saved. And for you and I, that means we must continue to pray for all. Amen. For all those who have not yet come to know him. And we know that this is God's desire. We've experienced this in our life. He desired it for us, and we've come to this knowledge. And he desires for others and all to be saved, but sadly, many still act corruptly toward God by living in sin, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And those actions, those sin actions, they lead to many people living exiled from the presence of God. And the only way they can be redeemed is by him, through his Son, and through the Spirit. And so, as a church, we need to be praying for all those who are still experiencing exile, living in trouble, and suffering in turmoil. We must continue to pray for ways in which we can engage them individually and as a church and bring them back into the presence of God, back to the truth of God's word, and ultimately into salvation through his Son, Jesus. And we've done that. As a church, we've seen that take place. We've seen people come to know him. We've seen people be drawn to the truth and have truth revealed to them and then bow and surrender their life. And we must continue to pray that that continues to happen while we're here, and whatever the future holds for us as we look to buy property and build a building, that we continue to pray that God continues to reach the hearts of those who are far from him. So it takes bold prayers. As Jesus followers, we want to pray for those who have not yet returned to him. Now, Nehemiah not only prayed for others, he also knew that he needed God's provision and protection to accomplish the task that lies ahead. And so he has this prayer that I give to you. And then he has a bold request, and I told you about the bold request. But before he makes this bold request to embark on this bold journey, guess what he does? He prays. Nehemiah 2:4. Then the king asked me, it says, what is your request? And it's really short. And it just says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. You know, you're having a conversation with somebody. You're getting ready to go into a meeting. It's been weighing on your heart. It's been weighing on your mind. You're not sure of the outcome. You're not sure what the response is going to be. And before you open your mouth, what do? You take a moment to pray. And that's what he does. And he prays to the God of heaven. And then he answered the king. And while we don't get to know what Nehemiah prayed specifically from his previous prayer and the requests that follow, we know that Nehemiah is teaching us to boldly pray for protection, provision, and success. And so Nehemiah, you know, he would embark on a journey that we've gone through. We've if you've been here, we've gone through the journey with Nehemiah. We've seen what he had to do. We've seen the burden, the request, the plan, the inspection, the ask, the work, the fighting. We've seen all of it. And so he would embark on this journey. But before achieving success in the work to rebuild the wall. And so it's this whole journey that's taking place. And I think in our lives, we look back, and in Kairos, we've been on a journey. God set us on this journey 8 years ago, and We've been working hard, and we've been praying hard, and we've been fighting hard, and we've been building the walls, and we've been helping people embrace Jesus. I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know this, that over 300 people in the lifespan of Kairos Church have given their life to Jesus Christ. 300 people. And if you've been a part of our baptisms, over 200 people have followed that up with a public display of their faith. And so we've been doing the work. We've been embarking on this journey. And we want to continue to do that. And we've got to make sure that we pray for protection, provision, and success. In James 5:16, it says this, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer. Just prayer alone. What is this? This is going to God, asking into God, believing in God to do, what we're coming alongside him to do, that his will would be done in our lives. And in 1 John 5:14, it says, now this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so as we boldly step toward the future, right, we embark on our journey and continue to work our way in this journey, like Nehemiah, we will experience hurdles, setbacks, trouble, turmoil, all that stuff. And what that means is that we continue to pray. We don't just start praying. We continue praying for protection, provision, and success in all that God is calling us to and all that God is leading us to. Now, as we move through Nehemiah's story, this is what we see happen. God, he answers the prayers. Nehemiah requests things of the king, and the king says yes. Nehemiah gets what he needs. He gets protection. He has provision. He makes this plan. He continues to ask God to show them favor, and we see that they have success in building the walls of Jerusalem. But then we enter into chapter 8 and 9. And in chapter 8 and 9, what we really see is, I believe, the whole purpose and goal of what is taking place. Nehemiah and Ezra call God's people back to the word of the Lord and the worship of the Lord. Why did the Israelites find themselves in exile? Why were Jerusalem's walls and gates in ruin? We talked about it a little bit. And even in Nehemiah's opening prayer, he alludes to it. I'm going to go back to that. Nehemiah 1. Verses 6 through 9. I didn't give this to you earlier. I want to give it to you now. So in his initial prayer, he says this, I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly toward you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinance that you gave your servant Moses. Verse 8, he says, please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people, and that's what they were experiencing. But in verse 9, it says, if you return to me, carefully observe my commands, even though you were exiles and were banished to the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to a place where I have chose my name to dwell. And so after they do the work, build the walls, in order to not see Jerusalem end up in ruin again, in Israel scattered in exile again, they had to come back to the word and worship of the Lord. And the thing that needed to happen first in their lives is confession and repentance of their sin. And so Nehemiah opens his prayer to God in confession. And then once they rebuild the walls, guess what he does? He calls God's people to confession. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1 says, the Israelites assembled, and they were fasting, and they were wearing sackcloth and had put dust on their heads. This is a sign and symbol of recognizing the wrong that they've done and mourning and repenting of all the things that they have done against God. Verse 2, it says, those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood, and they confessed their sins and the guilt of their fathers. And while they stood in their places, here's what they did. They read from the book of the law of the Lord for a fourth of the day, and they spent another fourth of the day in confession and worship to the Lord their God. And you see these three things that they left and they stopped doing, and now Nehemiah and Ezra are calling them back to. Remember God's word. Remember God's truth. Live God's truth. Confess your sin. Confess the things that you've done against him. And then worship him. And never stop doing these things. And so in this moment, in his first prayer, and in this, you know, moment, Nehemiah is teaching them to pray bold prayers of confession. And here's why this is so important. Because habitual and unrepentant sin will lead to ruin and keep us from success. The very thing that we prayed for, that we asked God for, like the protection, the provision, the success, if there is sin in our lives that we are unrepentant of, it will keep us from that. And it's so important, first and foremost, that we recognize where we have sinned. If the word convicts us, if the spirit convicts us, if one of God's people convicts us and holds us accountable to it, we've got to recognize that and then return back to God and say, I'm going to turn from whatever this is and go back to God, because I know if I keep going this direction, it'll keep me from where God is trying to lead me. Nehemiah 9, it continues. And it's beautiful. I encourage you to go and read it. And it just, it goes through the entire story arc of the Old Testament up until this point. And it speaks of God's grace and love and compassion. And it also speaks of Israel's disobedience, arrogance, and rebellion that led to their ruin, that led to their exile. And really what it does is it showcases all the ways in which God is great, awe-inspiring, and faithful, and how Israel repeatedly turned their backs on God to live in sin. It ends in verse 32 of chapter 9. It says, so now, our God, the great, mighty, and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant, do not view lightly all the hardships that we have afflicted us. You are righteous concerning all that has come on us, because you have acted faithfully while we have acted wickedly. And I think there's so much power in this. I shared this a little bit at worship night, that no matter our circumstance, God doesn't change. Who he is doesn't change. He is faithful. He is great. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is forgiving. None of those things ever change. And we don't deserve his grace. But from this story, and probably in your lives, God offers us grace again and again and again. And he'll continue to do so because he loves us. But if we want to experience God's grace, we must turn from our sin. Because you can't continue to live in sin and experience God's grace in your life. Jesus died for your sin in order that you would repent of your sin to experience the grace and freedom and love and hope in Christ. Too many people try to live in both worlds, try to teeter on the edge of living sinfully and doing the things for God. But sin leads to failure. Sin leads to not being successful. Sin leads to, like I talked about last week, death. And if we want to be free of it, we've got to confess our sins. And so just as, you know, habitual and unrepentant sin led Israel to their defeat and exile and ruin, that same thing would have kept them from future success. We too must be mindful of our own sinfulness, need for confession and repentance, so that we don't make the same mistakes that they did. I mean, this is why we have the story of God's people. And this is why it's all laid out there. It's not pretty. They messed up. They acted wickedly. They turned their back on God. And all of it's given us to say, hey, don't Don't live that way. Man, continue to see God's grace and continue to see God's love and live for him. Because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. The consequences for sin, that happened in the Old Testament, are the same consequences for sin today. And so just as God never changes, the consequence for sin will never change. And it doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what culture deems sin. It's what God's word deems as sinful. That's why we must always go back to it and live in the things that he's called us to live in, the ways that he's called us to live, in submission and surrender to him, to his word, regardless of all the outside voices. Because the consequences for sin are the same. Well, why do I share this? Well, it's important for us to know in our lives. But as a church, as we begin to take these bold steps and make these bold requests, right, of buying property and building a building, we already have so much going against us. And the last thing we need is sin coming in that'll hinder us from accomplishing it. And so we got to know that. And sin, whether pride or gossip or greed or sexual immorality, guess what it does? It becomes like a cancer that will begin to spread and infect the whole body. There's a story in the book of Joshua. We know about the walls of Jericho and the Battle of Jericho, right? And there was this huge success, and the Israelites were like, yeah, we did it. But God gave them some very clear commands. Go in, destroy everything, don't take anything. That was it. And one guy decides that he's going to take something. And then they go to their next battle, and they're super confident. They just took down the big wigs in this little town of Ai. It's so small. It's so puny. They're like, we're just going to roll over them. And they try to do that, and guess what they experienced? Defeat. They had to tuck tail and run back, right? And they're like, what just happened? What is taking place? And through this whole thing, they came down to one man decided to disobey the commands of God, and it affected the entire people. And it's a powerful reminder. And so while the prayers of a righteous person are powerful, right? We just read that. The act of sin in one person's life within the community of God's people is very corrupting and can keep us and hinder us from the protection, provision, and success that God desires for us. And so this means we must remember to boldly confess our sins to God and confess them to one another. There's this accountability that takes place. There's this, you know, this vulnerability. And as we do these things, we are better together. Hebrews 12:1, here's what it says. Let us throw off everything that hinders in the sin that so easily entangles. And so we got to make sure that we are praying bold prayers of confession. And that's what Nehemiah teaches us. And so Nehemiah, he gives us and shows us to pray for others and to pray for protection and provision and success and prayers of confession. And you go, well, why all this focus on how Nehemiah is praying? Well, first, it's just a reminder of the power of prayer. We share that with you, but I mean, within this story, we see the power of prayer for Nehemiah and for the Israelites, and so it's a reminder of prayer in our lives and for our church. Second, man, this is so important because we are taking a bold step. We are making a bold request, and I'm going, it needs to be led with bold prayers. We have got to go to God and ask of God and seek God in these ways, because to boldly go, we must pray bold prayers. And we must continue to pray bold prayers. So with all that in mind, here's what I do. Because, you know, we're kind of in the final week of this thing. What I want to do is I want to challenge you to a week of prayer and fasting. And so Nehemiah's prayers have given us a template to follow. And Nehemiah and God's people also spent time fasting. And I'm going to give you more on fasting in just a minute. And so here's what's going to happen. Next week, We are going to be closing out our series and our time together. We're coming to our March 2nd, our pledge commitment day, and you're going to hear some powerful testimonies of how God has worked in the lives of people throughout our church's history, and you're going to bring a one-time gift, and you're going to make a three-year commitment towards our goal of raising $1 million to purchase property upon which we can build the walls of our future home church. And it's a big deal. And so on your seat when you came in today, there is a pledge card. And I don't need you to do anything with that today other than this. Take it with you. And then throughout this week, in the course of the next 7 days, throughout each day, I want you to pray and fast like Nehemiah. And follow his template. Number one, pray bold prayers for others. Others in our church. And it could be whatever. Just be mindful of praying for those in our church. Those that are going through things. Those that are also making a commitment to this. Those that are struggling. Those that are feeling blessed. Just pray for others in our church. But then also make sure you're praying for those who have not yet come to know Jesus. Who in the next year, the next 2 years, next 3 years, next 5 years, will step through the foot of Kairos Church, hear the word of God, and have their life transformed by Jesus. Pray for others. Secondly, pray bold prayers for protection, provision, and success. Protection, spiritual attacks. First and foremost, on your family, on your life, on your relationships, and then also for our church. Protection against all of that. Pray for provision in our current expenses, in your current expenses, and then also for us as the church looks to grow and expand. Pray for success in securing a property, raising the money, building the church, as well as continuing to reach people for Jesus right here and right now. So it's prayers for others, prayers for protection, prayers for provision and success. And then lastly, I would encourage you, pray bold prayers of confession. Because sin hinders. And so maybe throughout this week, it'll confess any sin that may hinder a bold step of faith in your life. Or taking a bold step of faith for the church. But don't just pray for yourself. Right? We're going to pray for others. So pray for confession in the lives of others, and then pray for opportunities to hold each other accountable to those prayers. That's my challenge to you. Pray throughout the week. And then I want to encourage you to fast. What is fasting? Fasting, simply put, is choosing to give something up in order that when you have that desire for whatever that thing is, you will go to God in prayer. And most of the time people hear fasting, they're like, all right, I got to stop eating something. Sure, you can fast food. You can fast a meal, but it's not just that. You could also fast social media. You could fast your drink of choice, coffee, yeah? Energy drinks, soda, Kool-Aid, apple juice, I don't know. Whatever your drink of choice is. Yeah, you can fast video games and TV or even other forms of entertainment. And we live in the theme park, you know, there's theme parks everywhere. Everyone has a year pass to something. Hey, here's a challenge. Don't go to Disney World this week. Some of you are like, wait, what did he say? Maybe you could fast sleep. I'm just kidding. Don't fast sleep. here's what I'm saying. As you choose to fast something, it should be something that is a part of your daily life and will be difficult to give up. And as you desire that thing, have a longing for that thing, you say, no, I'm going to take time in this moment right now to pray. Bold prayers for others. Bold prayers for protection and provision and success. I'm going to pray, if I need to, confession and whatever that may be. See, fasting, it's not about earning God's favor. It's just about making space for God to move. Being a part of it. And so as we enter into this week of bold prayer and fasting, we have an opportunity to seek God with greater intensity. So, as we pray bold prayers, let's back it up with bold fasting. And whether you fast from food or social media or some form of entertainment, let every moment of longing redirect you to prayer. Take your pledge card. Spend time over the next 7 days seeking God, because bold prayers lead to bold steps, and bold steps lead to a lasting impact in the lives of people in our community. And that's what we are praying for, and that's what we are hoping for, and that's what we are desiring to see God do right here at Kairos Church. Will you guys join me for a word of prayer? God, it's been a pleasure just going through Nehemiah's journey. It's been encouraging, inspiring, in some cases overwhelming. What you call us to is never easy, but it's always good. And God, we've seen you work and we've seen you move in our lives. We've seen you work and move in the lives of people in our church. And we're thankful for all that you've done. And we know you're going to continue working no matter where we are at in the next year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. You'll continue to work in the lives of people in this church and also reaching out to those who do not yet know you. In this moment, I am calling us to a week of prayer where we would spend time seeking your face, spend time praying on behalf of others, interceding for them. God, that we would take time praying for our church, for our staff, for our leadership, for our moment makers. God, that we would take time to pray over the finances of this church, for tithes, for offerings, for commitment. God, we would take time to pray for those that will one day come and sit at the seat next to us and come to know you for the very first time. God, if there is sin in our life, something we've been rationalizing, something we've been pushing aside, something we've been trying to hide, God, I pray that you would lead us to confession and repentance. We don't want anything hindering the work that you are desiring to do in us and through your church. God, it's going to be challenging. But God, through those challenges, you're going to work and move in mighty ways. And God, we're going to seek you this week. We're going to pray to you this week. We're going to ask of you this week to show up in mighty ways so that we can see you continue to do a work in Kairos Church to help people embrace your son, Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.